Welcome
to the
Sunday Sit Down.
Yo, yo, yo.
What's up, y'all?
It's another Sunday Sit Down. And today our topic of choice is self-talk. You want to kick this one off?
Sure, I'd be happy to. So today, regarding the subject self-talk, we just wanted to share with you all our thoughts on the importance of self-talk and also how it's affected us independently just as well as our relationship. So essentially, I will say the importance of self-talk is the way that you talk to yourself and the way that you think about yourself is going to determine the outcome of your entire life. If you speak to yourself positively and always encourage yourself and also adapt with the times as things change, no matter the circumstances, you're going to be way better off than the person that instills self-doubt and negative and chaotic thoughts into themselves, right? Because how can you grow in a space of negativity, in a space of chaos, in a space of any form of negative uncertainty? It's just not a safe space, in my opinion, for anybody to grow in. And in a way, it's also therapeutic, right? Because sometimes, you know, you don't have anyone to talk to, or sometimes you don't want to talk to anybody, depending on what you're going through. And it could be because they don't understand, or because you just want to get through what you're going through, you know. And sometimes it doesn't involve other people, right? So sometimes you do got to talk to yourself and get yourself, you know, back on your feet, or to encourage yourself to keep going. And sometimes, all the same, that sounds easier said than done. Sometimes that's just a challenge in its own, sometimes bigger than the challenge itself, to really look yourself in the mirror and still show up for yourself every day. But at the end of the day, if you're not right within, nothing you touch will be right. Nothing that you're involved in will be right. It won't ever be fulfilling to you the way that it would be if you are taking care of yourself the way that you should be. And the first place to start is with you. The first place to start is in your brain, on the inside of yourself. So what is your viewpoint, Jay, of self-talk? Like, what's the importance of that practice, do you think?
Honestly, I think self-talk is everything. And I think self-talk is something that you really have to teach yourself. It's something that you really grow into. And it's either something that you're taught or it's something that's instilled in you, right? Because if you're not conscious of what you're feeding yourself, what you're telling yourself, the environment around you, what that's telling you, then you'll just naturally kind of exude or take on whatever you're around. So if you're around an environment of fear and anxiety, and you know what I'm saying, you're always on your toes and stuff like that, that's naturally gonna be the type of self-talk, and it's naturally gonna be what you're kind of condoning within yourself. It's gonna be what you're kind of whispering to yourself in those tough moments of life, you know what I'm saying? And it's gonna be something that you have to consciously undo. A lot of times fear and anxiety comes not really from us, but from the things around us, and we take that on and we don't really know how to block that out and protect ourselves from the things that are happening around us. But like Elle said, the major thing you can do is have positive self-talk. The more you wake up in the morning and you tell yourself, I am great, I am beautiful, I am strong, I am powerful. It might sound corny, it might sound whatever, but there's power in what you say. Words mean things, you know what I'm saying? So be wary of what you say to yourself first and foremost. And the more conscious you are of what you say to yourself, the more you build yourself up, the more you empower yourself from within with the words that you say to yourself on a daily basis, your affirmations, your empowerment chants, whatever you want to call it, you know what I'm saying? But what you do to fuel yourself, you know what I'm saying? The more you'll see the world around you, like Elle said, begin to shift and begin to form to what you really desire to be, and you'll begin to attract more of what you want in the world, and you'll see the world differently as well. Because when you're in a framework
of negative self-talk and doubt and fear, and this is kind of consuming your world, I feel like this is where a lot of depression comes from, and, you know, a lot of anxiety and things of that nature.
And I think it's something that we can, override in a lot of ways by just changing some of the music that we listen to. Listening to classical piano, listening to binaural beats, listening to, you know, even some motivational speakers, preachers, you know, whatever works for you. But put more positive influences in your life that could tell you something positive about yourself that you may not be ready to tell yourself at that time. But get into the habit of being conscious what you say to yourself. Self-talk is a process, you know what I'm saying? But it's definitely the cornerstone to having a healthy relationship with yourself. And anybody else for that matter.
Absolutely. And to add to your point, the power of the tongue is so important. You know, historically we've heard that quote be said in a million different ways, and that's for a reason.
Why do you think that is?
Because what you the same way as what you say, you know, in your head, and the same whether or not you say it in your head or out of your mouth, is just as powerful. So, for example, if you say something negative about yourself, at some point you're going to start believing that shit. Period. You know, and especially for things that you know you can change. Like, say if like you have like body insecurity, like telling yourself that you're fat all day long is not solving anything. And instead of doing that, you can say, you know, hey, acknowledge the fact and accept the fact you don't like the way that you look, right? But what can you do about it? You can change the way that you eat. You can change your lifestyle. You change the way that you eat. You can change the way you exercise. And you can also just change the way that you treat yourself as well. Because there's so many factors, you know, even with that, that plays into beyond, you know, what you eat. It's like your habits too, right? Because like if you're stressed out, your body reacts to that. You know, your body's not going to react the same way that it would if you're at peace or if you're comfortable, you know. It's so much to it at the end of the day. But yeah, the power of the tongue is powerful for real. You want to speak positive over your life. You want to speak positive over anybody's life, you know, that you care about especially. And just be in tune, as you mentioned before, as far as what you consume too. Because if you're just consuming chaos and negativity and shit, even foolishness, to be honest, it's not pouring anything beneficial into you. What in reality, what are you getting seeing people bickering and fighting or looking at death and shit all the time? Like, that's not gonna bring you peace. That's not gonna help you value your life or to think about your future in a positive way or think about your future, period. Sometimes the stuff that you listen to and pay attention to is actually literally preventing you from thinking about having a future. Because what you're looking at is actually to your detriment, because it's like the end of something. It's like the end of someone's life or the end.
Death.
Yeah.
And I agree with what you're saying. And here's a question. Do you think that the push of death is such a big thing now due to, like, the media and stuff like that? I mean, right, when we were younger, I don't remember really seeing as much death and violence in real life on TV as I do now, right? We went through years of seeing black men, black women, black babies being killed on TV, murder, school shootings, the music, the movies. Everything is kind of revolving around death and violence, and it's kind of becoming like this weird, like, even remember like the sad boy culture and like all this stuff. Do you think that this is something that's being pushed, or do you think this is something that's organically just coming out of kids' frustration and, you know, rebelling against the system, that it's just a phase? Or do you feel like this is kind of seeping into society as kind of like a cultural thing now?
I mean, I think it's a little bit of everything, and I think that it's always been there. However, I think it's gotten worse over time. And a great example of that is like the internet in 1990 is not the same as it was today. So using that as an example, a lot of stuff that was not accessible to us is way more accessible now, the same way that was accessible to the kids that are growing up now versus when we were kids. We didn't have access to the stuff they have access to. Like, I didn't have no damn cell phone when I was in third grade. And even with that being said, I do think things in general have just gotten worse. From violence to everything, a lot of stuff has gotten worse. Do I think it's being pushed? Absolutely. If it wasn't being pushed, we wouldn't see it. You know, if it, it's like with anything that they want to be swiped from the internet or from or TV or magazines or whatever, they want to hide
vanishes.
It. Yeah, it's gonna magically vanish, and then they gonna be saying that you crazy, like, and you know what,
like
you
it
saw.
It never happened.
Literally. So, yeah, to answer your question, yeah, absolutely. But that's why it's important, though, for you to know your history. You know, because I can even say from me growing up as a kid back then, hell, I could easily learn, you know, about my people and my culture and my being a hell of a lot easier than the kids can now.
Yeah.
You know,
they're being, well, was my sister, right? We went to back to Louisiana. She was saying that my little cousin was being taught that slavery was indentured servitude. That's crazy. But in reality, exactly what you're saying is true, right? I heard an elder say this, and it was broken down beautifully. I think it was Charleston White, honestly. But he was just saying how, remember how I was saying Jerry Springer, Montel Williams, Maury Povich, this era of TV replaced the Family Matters and the Cosby Show and the Different Strokes and a Different World and these type of things, you know what I'm saying? So we got the rambunctiousness, we saw the drama, we saw the antics, and I don't know, and at least in the West, you know what I'm saying, I don't know how it was in maybe people in like Europe or somewhere else, but in the Western Hemisphere, in America, you know, they really promoted a lot of drama and ignorance to our generation and the generation that came under us. But the difference is, I feel like our generation, what we have advantage that they don't have by not having so much technology, we weren't as exposed to it, right? Like if Jerry Springer, like we had the same technology we do today, there would be clips of Jerry Springer everywhere. And we would be like, oh, wow, this is so crazy, right? But back then, it's like you saw it when you saw it. But you were primarily watching Avatar, The Last Airbender, or you were watching Courage the Cowardly Dog, or you were watching Powerpuff Girls or Codename Kid Next Door. Or there was quality shows that had good messages in them back in the day. Like the media was way different. The messaging was way different. Like, I just feel like the quality of creative, the quality of storytelling that we had empowered us to be a more intellectually and emotionally astute generation.
Definitely, and even just in simple terms too, shit, we played outside.
That's
like
facts.
Kids don't even know what that means. It's like it completely foreign to them. They're stuck, you know, in their electronics, because, you know, when we grew up, we had the best of both worlds. Yeah. Meaning that it was nowhere near as deep as this. You know, you might have a CD player or whatever, maybe not even an MP3.
And if you had a CD player back in the day, you was the shit.
You really were. But in reality, you know, hey, you wanted to go play outside. You want to go to the mall. You want to go to the movies. Like, I will say overall, my entire standpoint with it all is that we were more in tune with reality back then. And I mean that in the most literal way. I mean that to say, you know, he didn't give a shit, you know, about your profile picture or nothing like that the way that you would today. You know, like, you're not ingrained with just endlessly scrolling on social media, YouTube, Twitter, Instagram, whatever it is, versus back then, you know, because even with MySpace, it was not that deep. Like, it really wasn't.
And I love what you're saying, because you're right. Like, I remember as a kid using my imagination in order to build who I was. Mm-hmm. Like, I would go out into the woods and get poison ivy because I'm climbing up on top of the tree to try to get the apple, or, you know, and I'm telling myself that I'm just adventuring. Like, I'm in my mind, I'm on this grand adventure. Like, I'm in the woods, I'm in the mountains somewhere, but I'm just in my backyard. You know what I'm saying? Playing around some shrubs. But as a kid, you know, by actually being outside, playing with your friends, everybody's sitting there sharing ideas and joking around, you create your own little world, you know what I'm saying? That you create your own relationship skills and your own dialogues, and you learn how to talk to other kids, and you learn, you know, how to barter with them. You might have a fruit snack and they might have your favorite juice, and you swap them for that. And like, there's so many different dynamics that come with actually being in front of people and tangibly engaging with them versus just sitting behind the computer. And there's something there too, like people are making friends or whatever, but it's just so different. Like,
you're not, it's just really less personal. It's less personal. You're not genuinely connecting with people, and even people that meet in person, the fact that we're living in times where it's like you can meet somebody in person, have some sort of connection, a genuine connection with them in person, and then you'll do the whole what's your Instagram thing, and they're in reality, the real reason that people really even want access to those things and why people really even keep up with that stuff is because they want to see who you are on there, on the internet. And some people try to translate that into reality, but most people, you know, that are really in tune with that stuff prefer to just kind of, you know, keep the relationship on the internet as much as possible, even if that means fake it until you make it. And even then, that's probably, you know, the scenario more than anything. But it's like, it's weird because when you think about it, you're like, most people are putting on a show to impress other people and try to, you know, pretend everything is fine, and in reality, like, for what, you know? And believe it or not, all this stuff still ties into self-talk, because if you're not right within, believe it or not, it's actually easier for you to pretend online. You know, you can look like your life is great and you might even not even have a place to call home, but no one would know the difference because you're not really posting your problems on there.
And that's the reality of social media. You can be whoever it is that you want to be, but the issue is you can lose yourself in the facade of who you're trying to create, knowing you were never that in the first place. But now you put this out to the world, so you have to maintain this image that you never were, only to be miserable because you set yourself up for failure in the first place by being unauthentic. And then when the truth comes out about you, for instance, like the Liver King. You heard about the Liver King? He's this dude, super jacked. Excuse me. He talks about, you know, living a primal way. He eats like raw liver and like bull testicles raw. And he's like, this is how I got so jacked. And he's like super big. And, you know, he's like a businessman before that. And he's like making money in his companies and all this shit, right? But he's saying like, you know, I'm so natural and like I'm not on any steroids, blah, 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 whatever. He's bullshitting everybody. Telling us he's natural and he's this big and he's like a 40-something-year-old dude, whatever. And he looks like a fucking champ, right? And it comes out he's on steroids. He has to do this whole apology tour, come out to everybody. And it was like, right? And it goes back to self-talk, because he was saying the reason why he told everybody he was all natural and all this stuff is because internally, you know, when he was a kid, he got bullied and he just always told himself that he just wasn't going to be that guy anymore. So he wanted to, you know, look a certain way, and looking a certain way made him feel a certain way. And for him, that was like his positive self-talk, the way he looked. But he created this false image to everybody that was really making him feel bad on the inside.
And mainly because he was doing it for them. He did all that for social acceptance.
Social media. 100%. And he even said it, that this was a plan that him and his team came up with. They were selling supplements behind this, right?
That's what it was really about.
So it's like, you know, you're living this facade, you're living this image, and you might actually like working out and looking how you look, and that's cool. If you're going to use steroids, you use steroids, bro. That's what it is like. That's what you're doing. Everybody was assuming, but he was saying it was something else. But it's just like, people would rather embrace you for your truth than for you to lie to them and just look like an asshole in the end.
Especially if, at the end of the day, why authentic people always win is because you're fucking relatable. Like, for him to do that is beyond a slap in the face. And people do it every day, so don't get it twisted. This is not just a dig at this specific person.
This is just a relatable topic.
Absolutely. You take that relatability away because, well, you weren't on there promoting steroids, or you weren't honest about the fact, like, hey, I'm just trying to sell my supplements at the end of the day, you know? And wow, right? Like, that's probably the last thing that you would think, you know, whether it's about him or someone else that you might keep up with on the internet, that wow, like, it's kind of like those people where you, like, you might feel like they have everything, you know, like, mm-hmm. you got the lifestyle, you got the money, you got the fame, and, like, and you learn that, oh, they're not happy, or they're insecure, or, you know, you realize how they are broken, you know?
They're doing all of everything that we're assuming that they are is part of the show.
Mm-hmm. Especially when you're in a world like social media where whatever is posted on there, that's the world. So if everybody's posting everything's all good, everything is all good. The pictures that you see, the videos that people orchestrate, you start to believe that those are those people, right? And you even see it on, like, smaller scales of, like, say, like, that person gets interviewed or they do a show, and then you realize, this person kind of don't have a personality. Like, you weren't who I thought you
were. Are they not all there in general?
Right. And then you realize, well, psychologically, based upon what they posted, you kind of gave them a personality. You kind of just thought that they were nice because they smiled in their pictures or whatever, you know? It's so deep.
100%. And, you know, kind of making content right myself for, like, different people, I noticed that in reality, you can make a copy. And what that means is you can make a script to make anything seem like what you want it to seem.
Mm-hmm.
And people will bring it to life because all they're doing is reading words.
Mm-hmm. And to be honest, like, hey, you know, theatrics are just that. So, you know.
It's part of it.
Yeah, like, and art is art. But one is not the other. Like, you should be comfortable in your skin, like, just the way you wake up, versus whether or not you go put on a wig and you know, a face full of makeup. You should still, you know, you should know who you are.
Yes. Like, in essence, you shouldn't be seven different people around seven different groups. You should be able to be one person around seven different groups, which is yourself. But you have to know yourself. And you have to accept your flaws, and you gotta be real with yourself,
and accept the fact that being authentic, you are always going to win. It's not a joke. You know how many people, successful people, have made it into doors and realms that they never even imagined being able to experience in their life because of the mere fact that they were authentic?
Facts.
Why do you think that people, you know, that seem to have some of everything, you'd be wondering to yourself, well, you know, like, why they want to hang out with me? Or you see them with someone that's just like a regular Joe Blow, they'd be like, well, why you want to hang out with them? Maybe because they genuinely see the authenticity in that person, and people naturally are attracted to that. They want that. You know, some people, in fact, like, literally want it from you. It's like they want to, like, take that from you, like, because it's radiating, you know? So all those things, though, at the end of the day, tie back to self-talk. You have to be right within. You have to talk to yourself a certain way. You got to treat yourself a certain way, because a lifestyle quote that I live by is, if you do not control your life is going to control you.
Or be controlled for you.
One way or another. So if I were you and if you were me, well, you should want to dance to the beat of your own drum. You want to make your own rules. You want to live by your own standards, your own morals, not by somebody else's, especially not people that orchestrate facades. And guess what? The reality of the situation is, guess what? You don't know who's real and who's not. But at the end of the day, none of that even matters either. What really matters is, do you know who you are? Are you able to close your apps and, you know, even close away from people in real life and be still good in your skin?
Can you be alone with yourself? And at the end of the day, that's something everybody should test out. This year, at some point, take 30 minutes and analyze. Are you okay with sitting down alone by yourself? No entertainment, no music, no people, no distractions. distractions. And then journal for 5 minutes after that and see how you feel and see how that experience was for you. It's just a little data analysis. And then after that, you can send us a Q&A response, hit us in the DMs or whatever with that feedback. I'm very interested to see what comes in. But last thing about self-talk.
We want to share how it has affected us independently and how it's also affected our relationship.
I'll start this. I think that positive self-talk for me has allowed me to be the best version of myself mentally, which allows me to do what I need to do to be the best version of myself in the relationship for you. And this is something I've worked on, right? Because there's evolutions, you have different relationships, some tendencies and habits you outgrow, and you have to learn how to communicate differently to different people. And being with you, having positive self-talk to myself, has led me to treat you and talk to you in a certain way that I feel is very loving, very compassionate. I always try to encourage you. I always try to uplift you, rub your butt. you're always warm, so the cuddles are great. I always like to tell you how appreciative I am for different things that you're doing. Even like, if you make me some food, I'll stop in the middle with you and I'll say, hey, baby, thanks for making me this food. I really do appreciate it. And sometimes you think I'm joking, sometimes I think. But no. I just want to genuinely, you know, just take the time to let you know that I do appreciate what you do. And I think that does impact the way that we engage with each other throughout the course of the day, months, weeks, etc.
Okay. I love you.
What are your thoughts?
I have to say, for me, it's helped me with every aspect of myself. Like, when I tell that to you guys, like, I'm not joking. Like, it's literally the foundation of you as a human being. So for me, it's given me confidence that I didn't even know that I could obtain. I mean, in general, because believe it or not, I didn't start, in my opinion, I didn't really just start to tap into like my hobbies or my talents until I got a little bit older, like beyond my teenage years. So I, in a way, I kind of feel like I'm a late bloomer to certain experiences of my life. And initially I thought that was like a weak point. But now, you know, after proper self-talk to myself, I realize, you know, hey, first of all, you're exactly where you're supposed to be in your life. So there is no mistake about that. And the way that you are is a strength. Like me considering myself a late bloomer doesn't have to be seen as a negative thing. It's a beautiful thing. And I use the term late bloomer to tie into me being like an old soul. You know, I feel like I've been here forever. I don't feel like I've been here for 20 some years. I feel like I've been here for 80 something years. And I feel like I got so much to share with people. It's insane. But with that being said, my self-talk has led me to understand that, yes, I will always be a student of life, but I can also be my own teacher. And it's inspired me to genuinely want to be the best woman that I can be for myself, like woman in the mirror type of vibe, like one-on-one, to genuinely be comfortable in my own space, genuinely be comfortable to go sit at a restaurant by myself, travel across the country by myself, just genuinely be me with no distractions. I could just sit in a crowded room and be comfortable just sitting there. I don't need a phone to pretend like I'm occupied. I don't need a book to pretend like I'm occupied. I can just sit there and be just as confident as I would be as if I were with you somewhere or with a friend. It's also inspired me to specifically be the best wife that I can be, you know, when I become a wife, you know, just as well as inspired me to be the best girlfriend that I can be. Because when you have significant self-talk that's properly in place for yourself, it does make you want to be the best that you can be. And you start to talk to yourself that way, and not just in like to generalize it to say that, oh, you just want to be the best. Like, no, like you're talking to yourself like, hey, you can do this. Hey, you know, you might be a little intimidated by this challenge, but you got this, and this is going to help you become, you know, the greatest woman that you want to be, a better girlfriend, a better wife, and, you know, a better parent, you know, or the best parent that you can possibly be when the time comes. So that's what it does for me. It just constantly encourages me to genuinely be the best that I can be, in a way that I didn't realize was possible until I actually started to apply it. And it's something that's new for me on a daily basis as well, like, meaning that it's not something for me anyway that I naturally, like, I'm used to. It's like, it's always a new experience for me on a daily basis, talking to myself a certain way. Because it's like, yeah, I'm talking to myself, but as I develop new experiences on a daily basis, since they are new, it's like, I'm experiencing it, but at the same time, I'm kind of like watching myself from third person or something. It's kind of hard to explain, but it's a hell of an experience, and everybody should be experiencing it. And it will, I can say from experience, help you have a better relationship with yourself and with your partner. So, with that being said, I hope you guys enjoyed this episode. Please make sure that you continue to love on yourself, love on your peoples. Be patient with yourself along your journey. And we look forward to seeing you in the next episode, you guys. Thanks for tuning in.
Peace, love, and light.